your porch lights off because they're coming over the trophy.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, fueled by LGB Supplements and Endeavour Property Services. Get our motors running. I am one half of the podcast, Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer, songwriter, Fox Sports statsman, and all-round good bloke, Sam Shinazzy.
Hey, Newman, thank you very much. Don't forget to get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. You can listen to us on iTunes, Wooshka, and all your favorite podcast platforms. Please rate and review us. Newman, we lost again.
The official records will read that the Sharks were rolled 20 points to 16 by the Brisbane Broncos, and the blind, dumb, idiot refs ruined the spectacle for everybody. But we were our own worst enemies, and that leaves us languishing in seventh position on the NRL ladder. We're within touching distance of the top, but the good news is we're on 18 points, and the next closest team, which is Canberra, snapping at everyone's heels, are still two wins behind us. We've got a couple of buys in hand. It's not panic stations yet, but not the best setup. Now, before we push ahead and talk about football, we've got to say at the start of the show, we have a big party coming up. Next week, so the podcast will go out early this week. It's Friday week, kicks off at 5:30 at the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. We're going to watch the Warriors game. We're all going to get together, have a good time, have a knees up. We're going to watch the game, watch the boys win, and then we're going to party on into the night. There'll be food, there'll be drinks, there'll be prizes, there'll be a couple of Sharks legends, and come down and say hello.
It's going to be a great night, Newman. Everyone's welcome to come down. Chat our ears off about all our favourite players from the past and from the present. I want people to talk to me about Valentine Holmes, good and bad. Let's have it out. Newman, it's a game we should have won. We're in every game that we play in. That's the good news.
This is true. Even though we lost both those games, you could make an argument that we could have won both of them.
We've won one out of the last three. So, in seventh spot, stat-wise, most of them are actually on the improve, just for whatever reason, we're not winning consistently in the last few weeks. First half, Newman.
It was diabolical.
Wasn't good. Like, I mean, we had something go against us in the first set, as well as in the 70th minute, and it did change the game. But we had the power to overrule that, and it just didn't happen, particularly because of the 1 to 40 minutes.
It was a diabolical first half. First set, we didn't get to our kick. I mean, it was a freakish kick, but I mean, the onus for me is Chad Townsend's got to put his eyes up and see Jermaine Asako, who, you know, he's not invisible. He's a
big... Offenhagenu, or what his name is.
Oh, wasn't that Jermaine
Joe.
Asako?
No. Joe Offenhagenu.
Howie. He's a big boy, you know, and he's rampaging towards you. Whether he's offside or not is immaterial. He shouldn't have kicked the ball.
He was offside, and you had a great view of it. I've watched it on replay. But your point stands.
Wasn't a happy night for Chad Townsend. He eternally frustrates me because he can be brilliant. I wouldn't say brilliant, but he can be so precise. He can be a precision type player, ice in his veins, and then he can just turn in an absolute stinker. And it seems to be like the stinkers. There's too many of them. It frustrates me, Sam.
I've been harking on a bit lately. I want to see him play a more dominant role. So, particularly on the fifth tackle, I want him or Moisa to be one of the two guys that gets it more often than not. At the moment, they're spreading around a bit too much for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to have this out with you.
Okay, go.
We're guilty, really, of playing very much up the middle third. So, you're saying you want more sets where the ball goes up the middle and then on the fifth it goes to Chad Townsend for a kick.
Or Matt Moylan. Not even for a kick. I want to see him run it.
But you just said that Chad Townsend needs to be more dominant.
One of the two halves. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's a very obvious thing, and I think the Broncos saw it on the weekend. When you just head left, Wado's going to get it. Ricky's going to get it. Sometimes it leads to a break. Sometimes it leads to a crappy kick that goes dead. Now, Chad and Moylan also kick the ball dead. I think if they get more regularity in doing what they're doing, I think it'll just be a better thing. They're halves. They're there to dominate.
Yeah, and it would be nice to see Jesse Ramian and our mate Sione Katoa get a bit more ball on their edge.
Yeah, it just played up a little bit. I liked when Chad did the chip and chase in the second half, although that was a bit more creative. Put it this way, Newman, I'm happy for him to throw it around, go left or whatever, but if it's not happening, it's not happening, and go back to basics.
I think there's too much basics in it. I mean, the fact is that a lot of those kicks only went... We suffer with victims of circumstance. We kicked the ball dead about three times, which resulted in seven tackles. Now, they only went dead by, you know, six, eight... a foot. The result is the same, but they weren't far away.
Yeah.
If it was a foot the other way, then, you know, we're applauding Wade Graham for a great... And you know how critical I've been of him.
I'm not knocking Wade, though. What I'm saying is I just think that this year, particularly when Chad has dominated against Parra, against Melbourne, a few other games, it's when he's had his hand on the ball. It's not when he's passed something off to his left or right. It's when he's done something with it. And I want to at least give him the chance to do it. And if he's not on that night, well, then do something else with it.
But he's like, he barely makes any try assists. He barely makes any line break assists. Why do we want him to have more ball?
I don't really know if that's completely true. I think when he's on and he does get the chance, he's creative.
Well, I disagree. I think he's so meat and potatoes. And I think he's...
Well, you know who's not is Matty Moylan.
I know. I want him to have more of the ball.
The great hope in this team.
I want him to have more of the ball.
So give him the ball. I'm talking halves. Doesn't have to be Chad. Give
well,
Moylan.
You specifically said,
as far as kicking goes,
that Chad needs to be more
as
dominant.
As far as kicking goes, absolutely. He is the kicking guy in the team. Let him do it.
All right. Fair enough.
And I'm happy for it to go to the left every now and then for a trick shot. Absolutely.
But errors. Matt Pryor dropping the ball off, you know, comically dropping the ball off the dropout.
Yeah.
Ricky Latelli dropped the ball a couple of times. My main man, Luke Lewis, slept in the line. All he's got to do is push through the line. Sione Katoa scores a try.
Yeah.
He dropped the ball. Paul Gallen with an error. I mean, errors across the paddock.
Yep.
Kicking the ball dead too. Gave away a lot of seven tackle sets. Gave away some silly penalties. These are the things that kept giving the ball back to Brisbane, which made it very hard for us.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk some positives, and there are a few. And I'm going to start in positional order and favoritism. Val Holmes, decent game, yeah, getting better at fullback each week.
I think he's really, he's a chalk and cheese with where he was at the start of the year, and it's great to see.
Okay.
I would like, one thing I'm going to criticize Val on, I want to see him stand, like when someone busts through the line, I want to see him stop them dead. Like front on, not side on. When someone goes in to score under the post, Val gets his body in there and stops him because he doesn't have that enough of that in his game.
Yeah, when it's a long range break, he definitely has it in him. He stopped a try in the second half, but it was a long range going kind of across the field. You're right though. The second try they scored, he could have done a little bit more as last man standing. Absolutely.
And I mean, we've seen Ben Barber do that amazingly well. You know, when he stopped Ben Cray and stuff. But you know, he's again. We talked about how he's only 21, so there's a lot of time for him to improve that.
Speaking of youth, Newman, Katoa, pretty good game.
But getting better. The last couple of weeks, he was sort of, was he playing? You know, you got that feeling, but you just get a sense that something electric's going to happen, and then all of a sudden he's it's just like he got the ball off that kick. Pin him back, son.
First of all, congratulations for catching the ball, because he's not great at the high ball.
Yep.
And... it wasn't until the end of the run he really put the foot down. I think that was the problem.
Pin him back.
Yeah.
He's like lightning. Where was
that? Yeah, we need someone to tell him how good he is. Now, keep going down that line. Have we talked about Romian yet?
He was powerful. Mixed game.
Yeah.
Powerful in attack.
Ninth in our real game or something.
Yeah. Powerful in attack. Defense, made a couple of dud reads. He was going backwards. I think that our line speed, we're just missing line speed.
Yeah,
we're not pushing up hard in the middle, and that makes it so hard for the guys on the edges. And he's making a couple of dud reads, but he's one of my new favourites.
Electric Eddie Lee, he not letting you down.
How good is he going?
He's going great. He's going really good. He looks happy.
He does,
and
doesn't he?
He's definitely a part of the team now. He's part of the team. He's keeping the likes of Fecky out. Now, we've talked about the halves. As far as the forwards go, let's get into the hooker situation. Now, young Jaden Brayley, good, honest player. I was happy with his performance, like I am most weeks. What we saw around the, 60th minute was Seguiara come on and absolutely change the game.
Yep.
Like we know he can do.
Yep.
Doesn't necessarily, but all the time, but he definitely can. He's had a good last month. What we want to see... and correct me if I'm wrong, Newman, is see him do that in the first half as well. I have two stints.
I ask you this question, Samuel. Mm-hmm. Is Seggy suffering from some of the really poor performances that he put in earlier in his career? Like, are they in the back of Flano's mind when he's picking the team? Because for the last month, he's been our best player.
No, I don't think that's a problem, Newman, especially with Alec Flano. I think that he appreciates what Brayley does, and he sets him up nicely. He's not the most creative man in the world, we know that. But I think the... I'm not going to use the word error, but I think where I would differ with the coach is I would bring him on around 28, 29, 30th minute.
I don't think you're going to get an argument with anybody about that.
Because I don't think he's an 80-minute player.
You get to the back end of the first half, the big boys on the other side start to tire. He can come on and create. If he can create us a try just before halftime, nobody loses. And it's not like his defence stinks. He's a decent defender.
And it's not like we always use all the interchanges either.
I know.
Like, Flano's not heavy on the interchange, so they could probably do it mathematically. Seguiaro,
next question I have for you, please, is Brayley. Is he suffering from a bit of second-year syndrome?
In my opinion, no. I'm sure there are people who say yes. I think he's as consistent, if not going better than what he was last year. I think his defence has improved greatly. Again, he's got to keep growing. He's got to get more creative. But at the moment, I don't have a problem with him starting.
Do we want to see him run more?
He's running a little bit more per week. He definitely has the capability to do more.
3 runs for 35 metres. That's not many runs.
Yeah, but last year he was doing none.
And Seguiaro had 2 runs in like one third of the time for 37 metres.
Yeah. But Seggy's a different style player, of course.
I want to see a bit more variation out of us. We're just so, you know, predictable up the middle. Get Brayley. He's quick. He's quick off the mark. He's like Damien Cook, but he's quick off the mark.
I think you'll see it more. I think it is improving. I don't know. I mean, the stat on the weekend wasn't great, but this year, definitely, his runs are up. Again, shout out to Seguiaro. He was, I guess, I don't know if he was the best, but he was the game changer.
All right.
What about your boy Paulie G?
Immense. He's made me eat my words. All that talk about him retiring and this, that, and the other, I've been made to eat my words. And I feel the same way. We're going to talk about Luke Lewis too. I just feel when these guys are able to string a bit of game time together, we get to see their class. But when they get a few niggles and they play injured and they play short minutes, they try and inject themselves in the game, they make errors and they don't look as good as they are. When Gow's been able to put good minutes together, then he's looked really good. And he's lost a bit of that lateral movement in the middle of the field, but he's covering up for it in everything else that he does, and he just looks like he could go forever.
Now, I'm saving this guy to last. You mentioned something the other week about how you need to see him play in the flesh to appreciate how tough and good he is. Early days. I don't know if he's the next Paul Gallen, but...
I'm on the train, mate.
You're on the Jack Williams
train.
Now, watching him, I have seen him play in the flesh, but he got a lot of game time on the weekend, and I was in my usual position in the ivory tower, and he was belting blokes. When he was running, the impact was immense. He was making great meterage, and I mean, he's still a bit green. There's a few missed tackles here or there that could be costly that are not. But boy, oh boy, he looks pretty good.
He's a tough, old-school footballer who runs hard and tackles hard. And he's playing with that energy that probably we need because, you know, we're a relatively quote-unquote old squad. And I'm on the train. But watch this space, Jack Williams. If he can continue to grow in the position, he could be anything. Now, you know who wasn't good, Sam? And that's the blind idiot referees.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they lost us the game because we were down by 6.
You could, but I understand what you're
saying. Even if there's no try there, I mean, we've still got to then kick a field goal to win the game or score another try. And there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. And we were very ill-disciplined for a lot of the game, so you can't play. But seriously, that pass, like, it happened directly in line with me where I sit in the Peter Burns concourse. And everybody is just waiting for the whistle to go.
Yeah.
And they just wave play on. And you're like, are you... freaking serious, like how? And then they turn that up with that performance with the bunker against the Canberra Tigers.
Shannon
game.
Boyd, yeah,
they're hopeless.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as that pass was, Newman, I took great offence at the first try with the fella being offside. I'm
so
sure
think they
he was offside.
Checked that?
Absolutely,
they check everything else.
If you check that from, as they call it, camera 2, it's no try. He's offside. He was at least 2 meters, maybe 3 in front of the
they were
in front of the ref. The ref was next to him. So you know how if the ref's looking sort of everywhere but next to him. Yeah.
But I noticed strategically the Broncos were doing this. This is Uncle Wayne. On the sleeper side of the ref. So when the ref wasn't watching, they had a player, two or three, well, the B or C defender, three wide of the ruck, was jumping up early when the ref wasn't watching. And the touch judge's job is to keep them back. And were they doing it? No. Were the touch judges to call the forward pass? Were they calling it? No. So what are they doing there?
Shane Flanagan in his press conference, I believe, spoke about getting a phone call from, I think, an NRL media person.
Yeah, clarifying comments.
Comments by Todd Greenberg about refereeing and the new way of doing things versus the way I did it earlier in the year. And Flanagan was pretty cool. He was saying, like, it was a confusing phone call, but he knows what they're trying to do and he supports them. But he's also questioning the timing of the phone call. And apparently they're not going to be as nitpicky about penalties. So they were nitpicky all year. Origin comes around. They're not nitpicky. Next week they are. And then last weekend they weren't. So it's
just crazy. And then there's that whole internet theme, you know, around the Broncos that, oh, hello, the Broncos are in trouble, penalty Broncos, and the refs get them over the line. And how many times have we seen it this year where a dud refereeing decision has won them a game? It's infuriating. And the players are responsible because the players made a lot of errors too. But yeah, that was a blatant miss.
Oh, look, if we'd played half as good as the second half, I would be blowing up a lot more because the second half was an outstanding effort. I'm of the opinion they lost in the first half, but if they'd played good in the first half and that had happened, I would be blowing up the lux.
I haven't heard a crowd at Shark Park as outraged as that for a long time.
I had people, so it was in the 70th minute, people around me just got up and left. They were like, and it wasn't even like anger, it was just like, well, what am I doing here? Spent my hard earned, and if they're not going to, you know, do this fairly, yeah. You know, at the very least, have a look at the offside in the first try. At the very least, the bloke with the microphone, the referee, the video ref can say, oh, we're going to look at the forward pass. At least give us that kind of respect.
The whole you can't call on, okay, I understand they're not going to call on forward passes because of the camera angle and all this, but when it's that
obvious... Yeah, when there's a bit of an extreme.
That's, I mean, surely someone's going to turn around and go, look, that's a forward pass.
Usually I don't have a problem with the idea, and hear me out, that you can throw it that way backwards and it goes forward, because that obviously can happen. Mm. But there has to be other examples where, like this one, it actually travels 5 meters. That's a long way for physics to take it
and
forward.
And the other thing about the pass is, see, because the pass traveled forward, who scored? Was it Asako that scored at the end?
It was Oates.
Oates who scored. It actually puts Oates in a better position. When he catches the ball, he's only got 2 meters to travel. Now, if he catches the ball 10 meters away from the line instead of 4 meters away from the line, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got less meters to run and less of a chance of getting bundled in the touch. If he's got to run another 5 meters, which is where the ball gets carried forward, he gets bundled in the touch guaranteed.
Let me give you some good news, Newman, before we go to a break. Stats-wise, our attack, generally, if you take all the stat categories, we're mid-table or higher, okay? Defensively, we're conceding the fewest line breaks. We're sort of top five, as in top five being good, for most of the other defensive stats. Our penalties, errors, and completions are mid-table, so they've actually improved.
So we've gone from
generally,
last,
yeah,
last to about halfway.
And particularly, you can see with the penalties, we're not getting as hammered as much.
Yep.
And third most forced dropouts, which we've sort of been there all year. But if Flano was, you know, hauled into Barry Russell's office and said, "What's going on?" he could actually get this black and white information and go, "You know what? We're actually not going too bad. We're in every game. We're losing by 4 points each week."
The one stat that matters is the W, mate. You should know that as a Fox Sports stats man. That's the only one that matters, whether it's a W or an L.
Sorry, we don't cover wins. We just do everything else.
Yeah, that's the only one that matters. They don't hand out bloody premiership trophies at the end of the year for pretty stats.
What I'm saying is there's a long way to go in this comp.
Yeah. And it
I think the team needs to improve.
It's heartening news because it wasn't that long ago we were sitting here going, friggin' hell, we're last for completions and last for...
We made 9 line breaks to 5, Newman. And we scored, what, 3 tries? 3 tries off 9 line breaks. You've got to do better than that. So there is something happening. The W have escaped us 2 out of the past 3 weeks.
All right. Now, that wraps us up for the review section. When we come back on the other side, we will have the news. This is Shark Cast Radio, Penalty Broncos.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman, it's free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
This is an absolute monster of a bomb. Val goes Valentine Holmes looking for a hole. Here he goes, Val.
Go, Val. Go.
Turn him inside and out.
Go, Val.
Valentine Holmes. That's a try for Valentine Holmes. The Sharks are going to win.
Come on.
A try for Valentine Holmes.
Val.
The internet trolls can eat that one up. What a try to Val Holmes, and what are they looking at here? Point to the spot.
Hey, what are they looking at?
They call it a try, but we just saw at one end that doesn't mean anything.
What the hell are they looking at? They're trying
absolute
to ruin my night?
Idiots. What? I can't understand it. Here we go, Samuel. So they're looking. No.
Hey, this guy here?
It's off a kick return, and Matt Moylan is in the line, but he gets a really good play at him. And that is play on.
We've got a problem here.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
And the boos rain down on Southern Cross Group Stadium. And we are robbed.
My heart is broken.
We are robbed.
I'm a broken man.
One of the great moments in rugby league history as Valentine Holmes rampages down the field. I don't understand. It wasn't a block play. That is a poor call. He got a good shot at Val there. Absolutely unbelievable.
Boy. Great play from Val.
What can you do, Samuel?
Play on. We'll remember that. Great
We're
play.
We're down to 6 minutes and 35 seconds. The score is 22
that
points
was exciting,
to four
huh?
on the CWE audio visual scoreboard.
Very exciting.
And Samuel, you were shouting into the
it's my job. It's my
into
job
the
to shout.
Microphone there. That is such a bad call.
And now it's coming to the time of the show where we see what news is washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news. And we just quickly got some lower grades results before we go to penalty Broncos. The real news, Jersey Flegg had their second loss of the year and they went down to Mounties 26 points to 16. And the Newtown Jets got out to the Mounties, went to a 22-0 lead. And the Jets nearly reined them in, but couldn't get there in the end. I was there. Braden Ueli was good. Kyle Flanagan Jr., he was really good. But, I mean, if you go out to 22-0, you're going to get beat.
Question, is Flanagan of the junior variety closer to being ready for first grade, in your opinion?
Yeah, 100%. At the start of the year, I thought he was a million miles away, and he's travelled a million miles.
So, would he be fit and ready to play in the coming weeks should someone go down?
Chad Townsend was injured. I reckon they put him straight in.
Okay. Good to know.
That's my call on it.
Good to know.
I'd only think, though, if that... It would... Like, they wouldn't put him in for Moylan.
Right.
They'd only put him in that sort of
traditional
halfback, you know, run, you know, catch, pass, yep, kick, do a bit of tackling. But he looks really good, you know, very calm, collected. His kicking game's good. And I don't know how he'd go on the back of a forward pack that gets dominated, but he's starting to look very, very capable.
Newman, there's lots of news floating around Shark Land. We're still on Aaron Wood's watch.
We are.
I still have reason to believe he's going to be a Shark.
The Woodening.
What might lighten that load from the Sharks' point of view? Because it is a money issue between the Sharks and the Bulldogs about Aaron Woods. Sasaya Fecky has been told that if he can find a club, he can get one.
And the scuttlebutt is that if they move Fecky along, it frees more money for Aaron Woods. I don't like it one bit.
Right.
I only liked Aaron Woods when he was at a $250,000 price tag, and that was about the maximum for me. And now you're talking about getting rid of a premiership player to accommodate him. I like it even less. However, in saying that, I've been to training. Sasaya Fecky is very unhappy. He's unhappy that he's been dropped. There's part injury, part form, but he's not playing for the Newtown Jets.
Right.
And he's certainly not doing the whole, well, I'm going to force my way back into first grade with good reserve grade performances. So,
is there a reason why he's not been picked for the Jets that you know of? Could be injury, could be attitude.
I think it's a bit of both because okay. he wasn't playing for the Jets. You know, we all thought he was injured and then a couple of players went down and he played first grade for us and put a stinker in.
Yeah.
And, you know, his manager is looking for another contract so that he can play first grade.
Would you keep him till the end of the year? If the club's resigned to let him go, would you keep him the end of the year or would you cut him now?
Look, it's speculation because I haven't sat down with Sasaya and said, how are you feeling? But if you're running an organization and you demote somebody and they say they don't want to be there anymore, what do you do? I mean, what do you do? If you're the coach, what do you do?
It's hard with the... I would make him play for the Jets if he's fit and make him work for it. And if he works for it, I'd be open to...
He doesn't want to do that.
Well, I can't comment on that because I'm not privy to that information. But I'm sort of taunting him, and it's somewhat sad because of A, how likable he is, B, what he's done for club, C, part of 2016. But then the real part of me, which I know you think doesn't really exist, goes, if he's not playing good and he's on money, well...
But he's not on big money, though. Like
he's on average money. Look, it's money in the cap.
Yeah, it's money
he
in the
will
cap, but he's
100% get a gig somewhere else. That's what doesn't make me so sad.
What, do you reckon he'll get a gig playing first grade?
Yeah, I do.
Who for?
There are a number of weekend clubs, probably with a bit of money, that would pick him up.
Newcastle.
I'm not sure about if he'll get the money he wants, but he'll get honest money. Otherwise, I think he could easily get a job in England.
He's got England written all over.
Yeah, and he'll go good.
Yeah. He's got England written all over him.
He hasn't lost the ability to play. I think he's lost some confidence, plus the kick defence thing has been,
but
you know.
To me, moving on like a Sasaya Fecky to get Aaron Woods in, I don't like it.
If it's that black and white, it's not good.
No.
It's not good. Now,
we don't have any inside info on that. We're relying on what we're reading in the papers, and basically, Sam, there's a lot of journalists and whatnot at your work, so there's a lot of rumours flying around, but you haven't heard anything specifically from the club. So
not about Fecky, no, I have not. I think that they actually really respect him as a human being, and it probably is a bit bittersweet for them.
Mm.
And he is part of that premiership-winning club, which is going to be important for the next 100 years. Like,
and it just sucks to see that all those players go. Well, you know, we've lost, as we knew, we lost so many of those.
What did you see Tagger on the weekend? He was after the game taking photos. He was in good form. He proved what a great bloke he is.
Mm.
He was really kind to the fans around the ground. Now, just a tiny little bit on my favourite player, Valentine Holmes, Newman. There was a rumour last week. We didn't podcast last week, but there was a rumour going around. Some doofus from the Channel 9 Brisbane part of the footy show said that Val Holmes, done deal, Cowboys. Next year, done deal.
Mm.
And everyone went crazy. There is no evidence of that at all. He's signed until 2020. I think 2020 is in his... It's up to him whether he stays or not. I spoke to someone at the club, an official, on Friday afternoon because everyone was so worried. I was not so worried. What people out there don't realise is that the club is going to fight to keep Valentine Holmes. They want
they
him
are.
To stay. Everyone's freaking out. They want... They're in the... In the process of making a really good offer for him, I mean, the other clubs aren't even allowed to talk to him till next year.
June 30 next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they want to fight that off anyway. And yeah. And Flanagan came out and said they want him to be a long-term Shark. So whether it happens or not, we cannot tell you. He may end up at a Queensland-based club. We're not going to say he's not. But you just cannot go off every scribe that says something about this subject because... Newman, in this day and age we're living in, every second person has some sort of, in inverted commas, job in the rugby league media.
Well, for him to sign a contract for the North Queensland Cowboys for next year is, quote-unquote, illegal under the rules of the game.
Yeah.
I'll just reiterate what you said. The club loves him. There's only a few people on League Unlimited that don't like Val Holmes.
Which is okay.
And don't see the value in him.
That's fine.
They're allowed to have their opinion, but that is not an opinion shared by the coaching staff at Cronulla Sharks, the coaching staff at Queensland State of Origin, the coaching staff at the Australian Kangaroos team. He is a highly regarded young man when it comes to both the way he plays the game and the way he conducts himself off the field. So he is a valuable commodity and the kind of guy that you build a club around. And there's no way in the world that Shane Flanagan will want to get rid of him. And I want him to... But you and I both want him to be a long-term Shark.
The last thing I will say is the person who made that comment on the Footy Show, they just throw something out in the air, Newman. And I know you know this. And if it sticks, they're the one that broke it.
Yeah.
But in the 99% chance that it doesn't stick, no one's going to pull that guy up in 6 months' time and go, hey, man, what happened with the Val Holmes rumor? Yeah.
And then they just do it next week with somebody else.
To our people listening, maybe our younger listeners who don't know how it works, that's how it works.
Yeah, don't
Let's
stress.
Move on.
All right. Now, great news. Matt Prior.
Matt Prior, another great human being in our club, rewarded with a New South Wales jumper in the squad, possibly playing in the 17. We hope he is. It's a long time coming for him. He has won 2 premierships. He's been great for us 2015 onwards. And
he won a premiership for St. George. He's not going to be overruled by the occasion.
No.
He's not fashionable. He's not a fashionable kind of front row, and that's probably harmed him. But I really like what New South Wales are doing with their selections. They're picking the team based on who are the best players.
Yeah, and he will bring good, what's the word, Newman? Line speed in defence he'll bring.
Yep.
So, they know what they're doing. That team, as you said, has been really well selected, and he will play a part if selected.
Let
we
me
hope
just
he does.
Take you back to a moment. Bruce Stadium.
Yes.
1 week, 2 weeks out from the grand final. First week of the semi-final.
3 weeks out. Sorry, I'm sorry to get technical.
3 weeks out from the grand final. Paul Gallen's not playing. Wade Graham goes off with a HIA. Everyone's written us off. Matt Prior busts through, hits and spin.
Doesn't pass to the people supporting him.
Doesn't pass to whoever that was. Jimmy Maloney, and just scores a magnificent try. I just wanted to take you back to that moment.
That's one of many great examples. He's been great for us. Now, your BF, Luke Lewis, have you got any information on his injury for us?
No, I don't, because they've all been off. And it's just, I just think he keeps coming back too early. He's feeling pressure to play and be competitive. And it's like the Gal thing. Like, Gal was injured. He was in. He was out. He wasn't stringing together minutes. And it was affecting him on the field. It's the same thing. Luke Lewis had a poor game by his standards. And then he got injured because he was overcompensating for a couple of errors. He just needs to get his body right. And then he'll come good. But it's a shame because you can see he's ready there. He's there to make an impact, and the body's letting him down.
I think both him and Gal would be the most competitive guys in the team, even amongst the young blokes. And they still dominate a training, and they still are great players. You know, I'm sure in future weeks we'll debate whether one or both of them continue on or not, and I'm sure all our listeners want to hear that as well. So we'll get into that another time. One last thing, Newman. Everyone who's coming to our party on Friday week, they have the ability to represent themselves even further by wearing our trucker hats.
That's right. You can still buy trucker hats. We've got a few left. Not many, a few.
Okay.
They're $25 plus shipping. Shipping's usually about $7, depending on where you want to get them sent to. Just send us an email, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. The players love them. That's the best advertisement we can give.
Yeah.
Like, every time I see a player, they're like, are you the guy with the trucker hat? Can you give me a trucker hat? The players love them, and they look fantastic. And, you know, it's a few bucks in our pocket, and it keeps me and Sam going. Yeah. So If you can buy one, please
great do. Quality. They're great quality.
Yeah, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. All right, well, that's it for the news. And when we come back on the other side, we are going to have the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio, Penalty Broncos. The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Hey Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
They move it down the field through Kingston, who runs inside the 30. Here's Peachy giving it to Kamoli. A flat pass on his outside. Clifford Manua, a ball back in the inside for Paul Mellor. Manly haven't touched the ball in what seems like a quarter of an hour.
And now it's come to that time of the show where we go out the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Eddinghausen Lane, Woolooware, and see where that little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed in the slot. The letters, you can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or you can also hit us Twitter, Facebook, Instagram with the handle @sharkcastpod. But get us on the email. It's a lot less work for Sam, who compiles everything pre-game and gets frustrated at me when I don't read my run sheet. So what have you got first, cab off the rank? You got a shark tooth-shaped letter opener in your hand and ready to rip the postage stamp off one, Samuel.
Some real beauties here, and we appreciate everyone getting in touch. I should say there were a million tweets. There always are, and both of us reply to them, but we usually just drag the letters out. Man, if there's an amazing tweet, we'll do that. So we have Blake from Hurstville, used to live in Caringbah. Congratulations on the outstanding podcast you guys run. I love that it's directed towards the hardcore and non-hardcore fans alike. Everything gets something out of it. Thank you very much, Blake, for that. In light of New South Wales Blues essentially starting fresh, new players, new team, it got me wondering how you guys would start afresh with your own team. Would you invest in the forward pack over the outside backs? Would you focus on front row or back row? Or would you start with the halves, etc.? How would you put together a team, Newman?
Oh, if you're recruiting a team, the first thing you want is a good 9 and a good 7 or 6.
You're a spine man.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of theories around the rest of the way that you play, but you need to have a good 9 and a good 7 and 6, and then, you know, you need great props. I mean, like Wayne Bennett, he has a theory that you never pay more than $200,000 or prop. Most coaches have a theory that you don't pay more than $200,000 to a winger. I mean, where do you put your big money players? Are they a strike center?
I guess it depends who you've got, right, and who you're after.
I think it's the leaders on the field, and there's a reason why players like Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, and Paul Gallen have been the best leaders of the last sort of generation. You know, they're all, aside from Gal, who played as a first receiver a lot of the time anyway, in a spine type position.
I probably don't have the time here to get my thoughts across on what I really want to say, but I would definitely suggest that my halfback would be my highest paid player, obviously depending on who it is, but that's who I'd go for.
Well, there's not too many teams who win the premiership with a dud halfback, is
there? Yeah. I mean, if you can't have two great halves, you need one of them to be phenomenal and the other one can sort of get around a little bit. I think, you know, as you said, the spine's very important. I think in this day and age, a good lock, if you look at like a Jake Trbojevic, who I'm a huge fan of, can play lots of different things, but he's a ball playing forward. I like those sort of guys. Blake says that, what's he said, across his forward pack, he'd make his bench almost as strong as the starting forward pack, sacrificing quality for quantity. I think that's almost like Chris Anderson kind of vibe there.
Yeah, Chris Anderson, the old, you know, you need a halfback and a 5'8 and 13 yeah. athletes.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's with the salary cap, it's difficult. You can't just do like what Manchester City do and go and buy all the best players, unless you're the Roosters, yeah. in every position.
Yeah.
You know, if you're strong in the halves and you're paying JT and Michael Morgan big money, then you've got to have cheap outside backs and a cheap fullback. It's just,
which they kind of do.
Which is, it's just the way it'd have to go. So if you're strong in one area, you have to be. It's a whole podcast. That
it's
one.
A great question. Thanks, Blake. Great Thank question. You very much for tuning in. Thanks for getting in touch.
Just one thing. I like the balance of our side.
Yeah, Flano does it well.
Yeah.
We're in the finals every year except for 2014 for obvious reasons. So yeah. He knows what he's doing. John from the UK, Newman.
Where in the UK are you from, John? We need you to specify.
Get in touch. He's been listening from the very beginning, but it's his first time email. So he said on the Woods subject, Flano has a proven record of picking up average players, turning them into key squad members, getting them at a good price. He's far from my favourite player, but if he can get average player wages, I'd be happy to have him. The media and kids seem to like him, so it can't hurt on that side of things, i.e. he's a good bloke. With Gal and Louis moving on sooner rather than later, his experience is also a big tick. Price is the key for me. Thoughts? Much love. Keep up the good work. Thank you, John.
Well, that's a sensible email, isn't it?
You got some good ones.
It's a very sensible approach. My issue is I think he wants more than just average player wages, so there's a big cross there. But no, you're dead right on all of those factors. And every time an unpopular player or an overrated player or one of those players that is kind of a divisive player in the market we're talking to, I remember back and think about how many people didn't want Michael Ennis.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. How many people didn't want Ben Barber? You know, and Ben Barber put in a bad year.
Yeah.
And Flano, and how many people didn't want Matt Pryor?
Yeah.
You know, we all thought he was crap.
Oh, there's a whole list.
There's a whole list. And yet you come to the Sharks and Flano's able to work a bit of magic with them. So
I think if he can get a year in with Gal and Louis, I think it would definitely be a bonus.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, John. Thank you very much.
I'm super skeptical, but all of that, John, makes a lot of sense.
It's all about the price, John. You're 100% right. You've got one from Greg.
Greg's in Mudgee, so it'll be cold down there tonight, I'll tell you what. And he says, the boys have seemed to be a second-half special. It's almost if they don't really hit another gear until halftime. Agreed. I mean, if we play well in the first half, how are we going to get beat?
Yeah, it's a problem, Newman. I hope they can fix it as of next week against the Warriors. It definitely hurt us in the game against Brisbane. West Tigers, we came back, but I mean, they're probably not as good a team as the Broncos.
And he also says, will we be getting Woods before June 30? That's our mail. And he says, a lot of people see he echoes John's sentiments. He said he could be a good signing for us under Flano.
Thanks, Greg. Now, we have one from Ben. This one was very informative, and I'm glad that Ben wrote to us. He says, in the coming weeks, the Origin juggernaut has the Sharks playing just one game between the Broncos game last week and the Panthers on July 13th. I've looked it up, Newman, it's true.
So one game in the month.
One game against the Warriors. Before a crucial game against the Panthers, so that's like in 5 weeks time, I think, the Sharks will play one game in 4 weeks. It's nice not to be worried about players backing up from Origin, but it could be equally tough for Flano to keep everyone focused and match fit during this interlude. What do you guys think?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it's so weird to not have games back-to-back. I think our squad, it suits us. We've got that older group, the Louis, the Gals, Wade Graham. You know, I think Andrew Fifita's body is probably not where we need it to be. I think the break is going to do us well. So
maybe a couple of scrimmages.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, they play scrimmages. They play against the 20s. They play against the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, they're professionals.
Yeah, this would have been planned out, you know, when the draw was done last November. So you have to have faith in the coaching squad there, Ben. But thank you for raising that because we weren't looking that far ahead. You're much smarter than us, as most of our listeners are. Now, we have some Twitter action, Newman.
We've got one more come through, sorry.
What do you got?
We've got one from Nathan. And Nathan says, boys, I miss the golden years from the mid-90s to the early 2000s where Shark Park was a Bermuda Triangle for opposition teams on a Saturday night, but now it's almost gone.
Well, it was the first loss in five matches at home, but I know what Nathan's saying.
I mean, we want to win every game at home. For the last couple of years we've had the podcast, I say, if you win every game at home, you're in the semis.
Yeah.
And then you only need to win three games on the road.
Yeah, and I just think you need to have... I know it's a business these days and the kids don't know about it, but you need to have pride not only in that jersey, but in where you play. And I'm not saying they don't, but I really think, you know, with guys like Barry Russell, you're in charge, you need to emphasize that. Like, this means something. Guys have broken bones out there for you and the fans. We expect you to do the same.
In terms of getting people to turn up to the game, like if we go to Brisbane, for example, and get pumped up there, but we continually win at home, we have a reputation for winning home, people will turn up regardless of what happened like on the away game last week. But if you lose at home regularly, people remember. And they go, I went down to the ground, you know, I paid $40, $50, $60 to get the family in and all the hassle of lining up and you know, buying the kids food. And then they lost. But people remember that.
I mean, 2016, we were pretty much winning everything anyway, but that was what was so great was, you know, so many games to throw at home. So thank you very much for that. Now, we have a tweet from our very good friend RCB down in Canberra. And he said, I've just seen the Flanagan press conference from the game after the Broncos. Quote, we beat ourselves.
Yep.
And then he says, we beat ourselves again. Man, I wish we'd stop doing that.
Yep.
Been the same excuse every loss since the start of 2017. Dumb errors, we beat ourselves. And our friend Shark2420, also by the name of Baba Shark, he's a good man. He said, it's weird. Sometimes I think it's almost deliberate. Like they're happy to make the eight, then turn up and just see how it goes. I'm not sure what it is and why Flano doesn't lose his cool more often. We don't even look safe taking a kickoff.
You know, without big upping ourselves, we know people who are very close to the club, and I know people that were in there at halftime on Saturday night against the Donkeys, and Flano went off. He went ballistic. So he's a very calculated type of guy in the media, but privately he was going absolutely ballistic, and the boys... There's not a game that they play that they don't want to win. It's frustrating that they lose, but don't believe me, this group wants to win.
Absolutely. And as we said, two competitors come to mind, Lewis and Gallen, let alone everyone else. A guy like Valentine Holmes, I know I harp on about him all the time. Your eyes are rolling back in your head. He's competitive. We've seen him like play basketball at training against someone else. They're competitive people who want to win. But that tweet stands, the press conference.
Let's not be dumb.
I guess they don't want to... Flano's not there to... He's not going to sell out his team or his players.
No.
That's how it works. But as from a fan's point of view, RCB and Barbershark, we completely relate to how you feel.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for another episode of Shark... Well, we've got more.
No. Just... How you going, Jim? What's going on?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
You got a bit of...
been very busy.
Work going on, I see.
Mate, yeah, I've been busy with the whole... I launched my own business in February.
Mm.
And it's been a lot of hard work, but it's also been enormously rewarding.
Mm.
Someone come and said hello. I was comparing a marketing and a media conference last week, and someone said, I know that voice, and come over and say good day. So whoever that guy is, I can't remember your name, but you were from over in the Northwest. So thanks for coming over and saying hello. Worth pointing out, I have a careers. So what I do is I do careers advice for young people, teenagers and young adults, and put them on the path to finding a job that gives them enormous satisfaction and fulfillment. I'll be running a careers seminar and Q&A night.
Where's this at?
At your favourite cafe, Sam. Mr. Paisley's.
Mr. Paisley's. How good is Mr. That's Quora Road. Quora Mr. Paisley's.
And if you get in there through the day, it's very likely that you'll see a Sharks first grader down there.
Or an ex-Sharks. I saw Kevin Kingston the other day. Did I tell you that?
You did.
I was very happy.
Yeah, that's Tuesday the 26th at 6 p.m. It's $30 to get in. But if you have somebody in your house who is 15, 16, 17, 18, or even up to 21, 22, and they don't know what they want to do.
Which is very common.
Very common. And there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Come come to the seminar and hopefully I can put them on the right path to, and it's all about finding something that you love doing and chasing that, not about, it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are at school.
Right.
There are always ways to achieve happiness.
Let me ask you, without too many spoilers, Newman, if I was to come along or someone was to come along, is it just one talk? Is there any one-on-one? How do you run it?
It depends how you want it, how you want to follow it up. So if you're up for one-on-ones, absolutely. Or I can just, I tend to do a lot of emailing back and forth with people. Right. So they throw a few ideas at me and so I give you a model on how you can push ahead, and then I just check in with you and see how you're going along with it.
Okay.
But I can set up and then I'm working with a couple of families with their young people with intensive career planning and, goal setting and motivation and all that sort of stuff. So it really depends.
So what's the date again?
It's the 26th and it's on the 30th, so come down and you get free hot chockey.
Hang on, you just said 26th on the 30th.
Sorry, it's the 26th and it's $30.
Got you.
Right, and you get a free hot chocolate, and it's only $30 for the young person. Mum and dad can come and watch for free.
Okay, cool. Mr. Paisley's, Cora Road.
What's happening with rock and roll, Samuel?
Oh, man. You tell me what's going on. I saw the Gaslight Anthem is celebrating the 10th anniversary of the 59 sound.
Well, we'll have to put a couple of those on at the party. That was a good record.
Have you seen them live?
No. Oh, no. Yes, I have. I have. I saw them at Soundwave Festival.
Okay, that's all right. Because they played this legendary show at the Annandale Hotel on their first album.
No, I didn't. That first album's...
It's good.
It's okay. Most bands come out of the blocks with their first album. But they grew into the...
So they came out and they played to, I think it was full, but it probably like 400 people, and people loved it. And then next album, 59 Sound, blew up.
Yeah.
They came out and, gosh, I can't remember where I saw them. It was the Metro, I think. They played the Metro. It was unbelievable. But there were all these stories floating around. Oh, were you at the Annandale? Nah, I wasn't at the Annandale.
I saw them at the... What was it called? What was the big metal festival that's finished now?
Was it Soundwave?
Soundwave, yeah. Soundwave. But they were on really, one of the big stages, and there was a lot of people there, but they were on crazy early, 2 in the Arvo or something.
So. I saw them twice at the Enmore, really good shows. I saw them once in America, actually, in New York. But the Metro show, that kind of venue really suits them.
That would suit them.
Yeah. If you don't know who we're talking about, the Gaslight Anthem, imagine Bruce Springsteen in a more melodic punk rock sense, but they're very heavily...
one of the boss's favourite bands.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Fallon, the singer, has gotten up and played with him, and just real gritty kind of vocals, melodic, but just great stories.
Really
and
good stuff.
We definitely recommend...
It should be. That stuff should be played on...
It is. I've heard it on Triple M.
Oh, yeah, that. And all my friends say...
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Diamond record.
Yeah, if you're scared about the word punk rock, which we sometimes throw out, they're not punk rock. They're just a really great guitar rock band. So that's 10 years
for
that.
Are they coming out, though? They're not coming
out. I reckon they will. They're touring around other places. I think they might come and just make a bit of money.
Sad news. One of the members of the Cramps died today. I'm a big,
is that right?
Big fan of the Cramps.
Okay.
So there's only one of them left now.
Really?
Yeah, Lux Interior died a couple of years ago, and now Poison Ivy's the only one left.
Does Poison Ivy still play?
I don't know. Don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was married to Lux Interior. So it was a husband-wife setup.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was a long time
ago. Sad news?
It was 40 years ago when they played that Mental Asylum gig.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't imagine you're a fan of the Cramps.
Deep respect, but I don't own too much. I think as a younger person, I had a record or two, and I thought I was going to like them, but I don't know.
All right, well, that wraps us up for another episode of Sharkcast Radio. Make sure you come... we'll be back next week. We'll be back for the party.
Well, I think we might sneak something out. We'll see. Don't hold our word to it, but just keep an eye on that Wooshka and iTunes platform. Subscribe.
I was on Fire Up.
You were?
Which is like the funniest rugby league show.
Yeah.
It's been on FBI radio and you can
long
search
time.
It. And they put a lot of shit on the Sharks. So
really? That's because Steve goes for the Dragons.
Yeah. And Chris goes for the Tigers.
Does he?
Yeah. So, I had to defend our honour, but it's quite funny. Anyway, you can listen to that on iTunes.
Yeah, you should listen to them. 13. They're really good. They're a really good bunch of people.
And this is The Descendants with Hope. And as we say every week,
go you Sharkies, it's time to win.